From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall.
And I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. Typically, when we sit down to produce an episode of the show or evaluate a topic, we ask ourselves, what's the why question? What are we wondering about?
But when we talked about how to respond to this weekend's deadly shooting at a synagogue in Pittsburgh, we couldn't quite articulate the question we were trying to answer.
And I think the closest we got to it was just, why here? Why now?
These are big questions, and they don't have easy answers. But we're at least going to try to figure out where we go from here.
Today's show, Tending the Tree of Life.
According to the Anti-Defamation League, Pennsylvania has experienced a 43% uptick in anti-Semitic incidents from 2016 to 2017. And Pennsylvania, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center, has 36 hate groups scattered throughout the state. So we talked about this surge in this kind of hate with Chad Dion Lassiter.
We're living in some dark times.
He is the executive director of the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission.
We're the top civil rights enforcing agency in our great commonwealth.
And we asked him why the uptick and what can we do about it?
One of the things that we're in the midst of doing now is creating a hate database where by county and municipalities, we know where hate is at. I think I'd be remiss if I didn't articulate that we have to make sure we expand how we look at hate. Typically, we're looking at some of the hate that happens in the Commonwealth through the lens of just, you know, the black-white binary. But there is a rise of anti-Semitism. It goes oftentimes unchecked. Also, there's data that is ran from the Southern Poverty Law Center that is just national. We know that Pennsylvania ranks number 5 in the country among hate crimes. And so we know where these hate groups are.
There are so many labels attached to hate groups. Neo-Nazis, KKK, alt-right. Has your commission been able to break down and define those particular groups?
It's all in the whole context of white supremacy. And so each group defines itself for itself. So, for instance, we did a town hall in York, PA, about a month ago entitled No Hate in Our State on the heels of the KKK leaving flyers.
A friendly greeting on the outside with hateful illustrations inside. The messages promote a white supremacy group.
And so for me, whether they identify themselves as the alt-right, whether they identify themselves as the KKK, it's really to the heart of white supremacy.
Members from all religious faiths are banding together after vandals desecrated a Jewish cemetery in our area.
You mentioned earlier these sort of everyday incidents of anti-Semitism. And you know, there were some incidents that, you know, rose probably to the level of law enforcement. There were rocks thrown at a window in a temple in northeast Philadelphia.
This time, Katie, it was just the one window that was broken out. But as you can see, police are taking this very seriously. They're inside.
We heard about a Jewish teacher in Montgomery County received a letter with anti-Semitic content. And these are not shootings, but these are, you know, difficult incidents for us to swallow. Are you surprised by these incidents?
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised of the anti-Semitic jokes. I'm not surprised at the anti-Semitic behavior. I'm not surprised at the desecration of Jewish synagogues and the desecration of Jewish cemeteries. The rocks at a synagogue needs to be looked at as a hate crime. I think law enforcement needs to have a training, and that training has to be not diversity, for God's sake, not multiculturalism, for God's sake. It needs to be around anti-racism, because it gets to the underpinning of how did this hate come about? And the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission, we have the opportunity to be the bully in the pulpit to say no xenophobia, no transphobia, no homophobia, no anti-Semitism. But I think we also need to make sure that we work with state legislators and others to simply say, when we find these hate crimes, we need to condemn it and we need to prosecute it to the highest degree.
So, Annette, how are you thinking and feeling about this incident?
Well, you know, Shai, I am African Methodist Episcopal. I don't know if many people know about this, but my husband is in the ministry too. He is an AME pastor. And before he got his own church, we were worshiping at Mother Bethel down in Society Hill on 6th Street. And Mother Bethel is the mother church of the AME faith. And so when I heard about the shootings in Pittsburgh, it really kind of hit home with me because I thought about what happened at Mother Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston.
Police say they are still searching for the man they believe is the gunman that shot 9 people in a Charleston church last night. And a photo released.
When something like that happens to your tribe, if you will, it really, really cuts deep.
It was just a regular midweek Bible study.
And the Reverend Mark Kelly Tyler of Mother Bethel came in and talked to me a little bit about this.
Reverend Clementa Pinckney and some of his members, some of the clergy, in fact, almost half of the people there were clergy, and they welcomed a visitor, Dylan Roof, a young white man, into their circle. I've got to imagine that they were probably a little suspicious, but, you know, the church always believes in the redemptive power of the gospel.
Yeah.
And so they welcomed him in. He sat through Bible study with them. And I don't know this for certain, but I have to believe that like most Bible studies, they ended with prayer, probably holding hands, and they probably offered prayers for him. And after they finished praying and prepared to leave, he pulled a gun out and shot and killed 9 of them.
Yeah, it does hit home when it's your own tribe, I guess you could call it. And when I heard about the shooting, I looked at the images, I saw the people involved, and it all just reminded me of my own synagogue, Germantown Jewish Center.
Jews really identify with each other across place.
The rabbi at my synagogue is Adam Zeff, and since the shooting, he's been thinking about how to react to the shooting and the forces that shaped it, in his opinion.
I think that the reaction to something so horrible can cut both ways. It can lead to people wanting to wall themselves off, wanting to separate, and that leading to less understanding between people. Or it can lead to people wanting to connect and wanting to know and wanting to open up and have people see who we are. And I think that both those things are warring inside of Jews right now. And I think that I see that in some of the reactions I've received from friends of mine who are Christian clergy who have reached out saying, we want to come connect, we want to come help, we want to come protect you. And I hope that the sense of connection will win out. But I also can't let my optimism blind me to what's going on in our society. The violence, the easy access to guns, the hatred that's been fostered and amplified by so many leaders in the public scene.
I think there's always been a spirit of openness about certainly my synagogue and a lot of synagogues.
If you can feel safe anywhere, you want to feel safe in your place of worship. And you want it to be a welcoming place. Reverend Tyler talked about this. I mean, you know, you can't go to a church or a place of worship and lock the doors.
In times like this, we have to stand with each other.
Yeah.
And so I know that right now you want to be afraid, but the only thing that will stop something like this hatred, is love, and when we come together in love.
At the same time, and this is the sad thing about all this,
those things didn't just show up.
Anti-Semitism in this country has been here for a really long time.
It's just that they weren't visible to us.
And sometimes we don't notice it because it's not in this community or just because the attackers weren't so brazen.
It was suppressed, and that's a good thing. When people feel constrained from speaking hate-filled words and from being attached to hate, that's a good thing for us as a society. But now we're seeing people emboldened and people feeling like they can blatantly say these things, they can blatantly act in these ways. We saw what happened in Charlottesville with people explicitly naming Jews as well as black people and, you know, people of color in general and immigrants as being their enemies.
I should also note that Germantown Jewish Center has been the target of vandalism.
We've had graffiti. We've had anti-Semitic graffiti on our building.
There was a mysterious fire a few years ago
that seemed suspicious, but we never really found out how it was started. So we're not immune from those kinds of things.
Germantown Jewish Center and a lot of other synagogues do have police attend, not right now on Saturdays. They do it mostly around high holidays.
Every time there's an event, we're rethinking what we should do and considering, but I would say this is on a different level for us.
And I think he is thinking about, like, you know, it's great to have an open space, but how do I protect my community from incidents like this happening?
We're thinking about it differently now, with more urgency. Our first priority has to be to keep our people safe.
And Rabbi Zef said this weekend when he talked to the congregants at GJC about the incident, the first thing they said was that it seemed like it could have been them.
We're very much like the Squirrel Hill neighborhood in Pittsburgh. Very much. We are a neighborhood in a liberal city in Pennsylvania. We're known as being a Jewish neighborhood. There have been Jews living here for a long time. We're very well established here. We are in this building where, just as in the Tree of Life Synagogue, multiple services happen in different rooms. We're just like them.
And that's it for today. The Y is produced by Shai Ben-Yaakov
and Annette John Hall.
Special thanks to WESA in Pittsburgh for letting us use some of their recordings.
You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Shai Ben-Yaakov.
And I'm at Annette J.H.
Find us on iTunes.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll be back tomorrow.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.